Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
6:13, 23 degrees in the area if you average the temperatures, and we knew it was going to melt some yesterday, and unless it evaporated, it was going to freeze again. That's what happened. Scott Boyle joins us, District Engineer Administrator for Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development. Scott, I know you've had a long couple of days. How you doing?
Good. Good morning, Tommy. Thank you for having me on. It's been a run this week, I'll tell you that.
I'll bet. I was able to make it home from the – I'm working from home today over the Crescent City Connection yesterday, and it was amazing. And I told Dave the Cohen this, you know, we experience this stuff collectively, but then when you get out, you realize that you've been in relative isolation. And to see the snow plowed on side of the road, man, you guys did a hell of a job. But let's talk about what's still closed and how timeline on when things can open again. Removing ice and snow are two different things, I presume?
Yes. Yeah, it's a different process. They are related. Typically with the snow, we go with the plows, and when we, you know, if we just have ice on the road, we do apply the de-icing material such as salt or brine. I wanted to talk about the Crescent City Connection.
Please.
I know you mentioned that. We worked really hard on that yesterday, and we had it open right after 2 o'clock, and then at 6 o'clock we shut it down again. I don't know if you had seen that headline come through, but
I knew it was closed, and we've been talking about it. I was just saying I had a sensed a window, or they told me it was open. I used the window to get home in Belchase, and I saw people driving, and it's like people need to realize that DOTD can only do so much, and now it's closed because NOPD asked you to close it, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, we certainly, had some very lengthy deliberations and consultation with not only NOPD, but also LSP. And Secretary Donahue for DOTD had made the decision to accommodate the city's request based on, safety issues. So, just to give you an update, Tommy, we hit snow plows all through the city yesterday on the interstate. So we received assistance from Arkansas. They've come down. They've been working on the western side of the state, helping Lake Charles and Lafayette and Baton Rouge. And they came down and basically plowed a lane or two in each direction on I-10. And they did that. And they're going to be back today. And we got other crews coming from DOTD in the northern part of our state, and they're going to be working on other areas too. So we have quite a bit of extra resources coming in to make this final push and get everything back open.
So when it comes to DeGaulle and the off-ramps, Chapultepec, wherever it was, where NOPD was concerned about the accidents, let me take a step back, Scott. The Crescent City Connection is drivable right now. The problem is the roadways leading to it and the accidents, or the way people are driving. Clear that up for me.
Yes. So we took back the Crescent City Connection. We had spent, a lot of time. We threw a lot of crews up there. We were salting and brining just to get that open. I know you and I have been talking all week, and it's very critical that we keep these river crossings open for emergency services. And, everything on each side of that bridge leading up to it is what the problem was. And the city had major concerns because they were witnessing cars coming off the Crescent City, getting off at Chapultepec, and there were collisions and crashes that were occurring. And they said to us that, many of the roads on ground level were still frozen, and people really couldn't drive on those. So, they were concerned about just keeping the bridge open and rather just discourage that type of behavior. So that was a big impetus for the decision that was made.
So when it comes to looking ahead and de-icing, or I don't, first of all, I don't know, was it a problem with frozen roads, or was it a problem with people driving crazy? Because I saw a lot of, and I'm going to just say it like it is, Scott, jackasses driving unbelievably fast for the conditions, And I thought, you know what, sure, that they're going to close this thing. It's not going to stay open if people keep driving like this. So at what point, looking ahead, do you either, if it, first of all, if it is a problem with ICE, do you get Chapultepec and DeGaulle drivable, where NOPD and LSP will agree to open it, as well as DOTD, your boss? At what time, what is involved in getting it back open? Let me ask it that way.
We're gonna start again. We're gonna go check the condition, because since we did close it after 6 o'clock, certainly there's been no vehicles on it, and you know, we have had frozen conditions. There was moisture on the road, so we need to inspect it just to make sure there's no ice before any major interstate type road. We have to do a very thorough inspection, because it could be 90% clear. And that's all it would take, is if we said, okay, we're opening up the I-10, we're opening up the Crescent City, and there's just even a couple patches of ice, people driving, you know, 70, 80 miles an hour, and they hit that ice, it could be a catastrophe.
Well, 70 to 80 miles an hour is your problem right there, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you had alluded to a second ago about what the condition was, and certainly the ice isn't helping, and these are very dangerous conditions. But you know, my experience and what the feedback I've received from both NLPD and LSP is that there's certainly been some driver error and recklessness that's been going on as well, which is really surprising and shocking.
And again, I don't want to, you know, I want people to take responsibility for their actions. I don't want them to put it all on DOTD and they can't keep it. No, it's the behavior of the drivers. It's a few that caused it to be closed. So if you give me a timeline, I'm looking at the forecast here, Scott. It's supposed to get above freezing by 9 a.m. and then stay above freezing, really, for the most part, after that, maybe a light freeze beyond that. If you had to guess at a time frame as to opening the Crescent City connection again and other major thoroughfares like the elevated West Bank Expressway, it's just about the weather and when it gets below freezing?
Tommy, we're making a big push. Today's the day. You know, we're going to be opening up many, many roads. We're gonna make that push again this morning and try to get that bridge open. And even at the very least, we want to get connectivity back and have reassurances with law enforcement. At the very minimum, with Chapultepec as well as General DeGaulle, or maybe even beyond that. So a lot of it's going to depend on what it looks like on ground level in the city. There's a lot of elevated structures and a lot of shaded areas, and unfortunately, those areas don't melt right away. But today's the day. I'm not going to say that we're going to have everything open by this afternoon, but we're looking at having many of our infrastructure facilities open, and certainly by tomorrow we're gonna be in a very different situation from a highway transportation perspective.
It's going to be when the sun comes up and the temperature goes up, and then you guys get to work. So I would say sometime around noon, afternoon, something like that.
Yeah, Tommy. I would say it's going to be after 12. We're going to have the snow plows. You know, we're trying to expedite this. You know, if we could just say, you know what, this would all be melted and gone by Sunday. Obviously, we don't want to do that. We want to get these roads open as quickly as possible, but also as safely as possible.
Thank you, Scott. I'm going to let you go because I got Jacques Thibodeau coming up, Director of the Governor's Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. You call us whenever you want. We'll put you right on, okay?
All right, thank you, Tommy.
Thank you for the work you're doing, man. I think y'all are doing a hell of a job, and you can't blame Scott for people getting in crashes and driving too fast. 622 traffic now, WWL. All right, 624, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly to Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, the director of Louisiana's Department of Homeland. Anyway, we know who you are. GOSEP. Good morning, Jacques. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tommy. How's it going today?
I'm all right. I got to tell you, I was able to drive home yesterday, Colonel, and I just got off the phone with Scott Boyle talking to him about road openings and so forth. I think, and look, I'm the first one to hold public officials accountable. I think you and the governor and the entire everybody, all law enforcement, meteorologists, everybody knocked it out of the park on this one. I think you nailed it. But to quote Russell Honoré, you can't get stuck on stupid. And what I saw yesterday with people driving on the roads that were open was just incredibly crazy. And I knew they were going to lead to roadways being closed. Tell me what you're seeing around the state and where GOSEP stands on this, because I think y'all have done a tremendous job.
Well, thank you. You know, it's a team effort of everyone, including y'all. But I mean, you're right. You got people that are getting out there. They're stir crazy, and maybe they're going to work and they're moving excessively fast. And it's just one stubborn coal system. I mean, Mother Nature is stubborn today, this week on this. So, you know, mm-hmm. we're facing with morning lows today in the mid-teens to mid-20s, and it'll remain. A lot of areas will remain freezing, below freezing all day today until midday, and then we'll start to see that thaw to come out. But then once again overnight, Friday, we'll have morning lows and then nights and wind chills in the mid-20s, and then all the way into Saturday, we'll start to get into the high 20s. So this is not going away anytime soon. So I tell everyone, as you get out on the roads and you're going back to work and you're on those streets that have just been opened, please be cautious because it is very dangerous out there.
Tell me, Colonel, if you will, about strategy from this point forward, and let's concentrate maybe on the New Orleans area and the North Shore, since that's primarily who listens to us, although at this time we do go out to most of the state before the sun comes up on WWL AM. What is GOCEP's main focus now? Is it trying to keep people from getting in accidents, trying to get the roadways open? Tell me what the next step is in your plan.
Well, it really gets tough for us now. So for people, it would start to get better. But there's two main concerns. Obviously, the roads are the most critical that our Department of Transportation and state police have been out there working. But the challenge for us, the real challenge, is going to be the water systems. We started to see it yesterday. What is happening? If you think about a water system, they produce the water, then they pump them into the towers, and then the towers gives you the water pressure. Well, what we're seeing is when it started to thaw out, all the water lines where there's no moving water, for example, inside the fire hydrants, we started to see the fire hydrants and the flanges of the fire hydrants crack the water systems, and that leads to leaks. And we saw drops in water pressure all in the Acadiana area and some of the Bayou River parishes. Mm-hmm. That's coming to New Orleans and the North Shore. So our challenge now, and State Fire Marshal Chief Brian Adams has done a great job coordinating that, but now we become in a very, very critical issue where firefighting and fresh water is our absolute concern from this afternoon into Friday and into Sunday. So we are putting water systems in place to support all the municipalities and parishes, and it may be something like our fire departments getting unprocessed water from fresh bodies of water and putting them in tanker trucks so we have the capability to fight fires.
Colonel, as you say that, I think, you know, there's this movie, whatever the hell the name of it was, where they had this, you know, visualization of the Arctic ice moving across the country real quick. It's almost like that in slow motion with the cold front. It came in and the snow, and it froze everything and it tied everything up. But now behind that comes this wave of thawing and defrosting, and that's going to have its own set of problems. That's what we're talking about, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, it's going to have its own set of problems. Thank goodness that we did not have the sleet and the ice, and we don't have the power outages. If we had power outages on top of this cold and these water system problems, we would be in a much more dire situation.
You would
so
have a lot of...
It's slow.
No, go ahead. You go ahead.
Like I said before, it is a stubborn system, and, you know, we're fighting it, and I think we're achieving success, but, man, I want this thing to go away.
What is your message? And look, it's Mother Nature. You can't fight Mother Nature. This is an unprecedented event. We knew that the same thing was that it was going to happen. A two-day event. We knew it was going to be after yesterday and the snowfall. We knew it was going to be Thursday and Friday. So I don't know why anybody should be surprised about today or tomorrow. Your final thought, Colonel, for people that are listening right now?
Just please be safe. We're going to get through this together. Just be safe. Be cautious on the roads. Try to conserve your water as much as you can. But water is your lifeline. So access to drinking water, if you drive to the gas station, just walk inside and buy some bottled water. But we will be here with you through the end.
And no driving unless you absolutely have to. Still, patience and common sense, right?
Yes, sir. You hit the nail on the head.
Thank you, Colonel. I appreciate your time and your efforts. Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. I want to hear from y'all on Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. At what point is this causing you inconvenience? Because we all had fun, right? And I'm not blaming anybody for this. I just want to know what challenges you are going through and looking at now as we enter day whatever it is of this. It is Thursday, January 23rd, 6:31, minute late time for WWL First News. 6:46, 14 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Crescent City Connection, closed, UEP Long, open in one way. I gave the address backward. It's actually 511LA.org. If you want to see what highways are open and closed, 511LA.org, because we can't give the traffic every 2 minutes just when you turn on the radio. We're trying to give you as much information as we possibly can, but you try to please some, and you end by pleasing none. Mike Strain joins us now, Director of the... moving fast here, Mike. I'm sorry. Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. How you doing, Mike?
Man, I'm doing well. It's warmed up to 22 degrees, so we're headed in the right direction. And looks like the snow is melting on the rural highways. Of course, today, any wet areas will be slick and black ice. We had a lot of evaporation yesterday, so that was good. But what you find on the rural roads, you have some really, okay road, and then you'll hit black ice. So we're urging everyone, unless you have to drive, don't. And, of course, be very, very, very careful and slow it down.
Mike,
slow it down. Because,
people respect you, and I wanted you to address that because I got a text from somebody, and this is one of the people that causes the problems for everybody else. If you can't maintain the speed limit and your car is unsafe to drive, then get off the road and out of the way of those better equipped for commerce in this weather. That is one of the more idiotic things I've ever heard in my life. Go ahead, talk about that, please.
So slow down, because what happens is that, getting up to speed, definitely you need to go slow. And on these rural roads, if it's marked 45, you better be doing, 20 or 22. Because you'll hit that black ice, and you could be on the straightaway where the road was covered by shade from trees. In other words, the direct sun never got on that road. And what you'll have, you may have 50 yards of absolute, black ice, and you can see the car ahead of you hitting it and starting to swerve. And swerving not only off the road, but also into the other lane. And we're talking about on the road, not counting, the small bridges. So please be careful, because we're not salting all these rural roads. And I know DOTD is out there, and they're using every type of equipment they can to clear the snow. But drive, be safe and careful. There's a lot of crashes going on, and we want to avoid that if at all, at all possible. Wherever you're going, just take a little extra time to get there.
Telling me about and again, you're a farmer, you know these things, safety and driving conditions and giving yourself more stopping time and everything once we do start to get things open so we don't take a step back.
Absolutely. And especially, if you got heavy trucks or you got trucks with heavy loads in them, always have extra time. As you say, you should always, on normal conditions, be 3 heartbeats behind, a vehicle. But now you need to be 5 or 8 or 10. And because stopping is a huge issue. What you don't want to do when you hit black ice is hit your brakes, because now you've lost all control whatsoever. As I'm traveling, an all-wheel drive and nice and slow to get where I have to go. But again, just be careful. And now too, whenever you're dealing with farm equipment out there, in the cold, just whatever you have to do, just give yourself some extra time. And then when you're out in the cold, if you get real tired real quick, and you can get, you can have a degree of exhaustion and not know it because of the cold, and people overdo it. So if you're not used to shoveling snow and you get out there, don't give yourself a heart attack. Just pace yourself and take care.
Yeah, I'm just trying to use some common sense. That's all, because you're not a weak guy. Newell Norman's not a weak guy. All you're doing is asking people to do sensible things to keep from hurting themselves. And sometimes, like General Honoré said, you just get stuck on stupid. Let's talk about the effect of the snow on crawfish, crops, et cetera, in a cold weather, Mike.
So we'll start off in the south, and I've talked to my good friend, former Senator Brett Allon, a cane farmer. How's the cane doing there? And he said it's doing pretty good. And also look further into Bunkie, into sugar cane, Jim Harper's sugarcane. We're very fortunate we got a blanket of snow. The snow comes down and acts as an insulator, because if you have days, especially if you get down to 11 degrees, 17 degrees, 20 degrees, and if you have clear ground, no cover, you could actually lose the roots. So I think we're going to be okay. Everything above the ground with this freeze is dead, and they'll probably go in and cut it, bush hog it, any of the stubble that is above the grain that was going into ground going into next year. So I think we're in good shape on our sugarcane. On our crawfish, they're just going to take a little pause. They're going to be okay. What the cold weather will do is break down the rice stubble that is left a little bit faster. And so you may have a shorter season, but we're going to have some really nice crawfish. They'll start fishing well as soon as it warms up. They've lost probably about 7 to 10 days of growth. However, they will catch that up. So crawfish are going to be fine. Most of the other crops are not in the ground, so that is a good thing. Now, for the cattle, a lot of the ryegrass, you know, everything above the ground, that's been lost. So they're going to have to feed more hay between now and really probably the 15th of March. So it's going to be additional cost there. Our strawberry farmers, we'll see when we pull back the covers. You know, the strawberries are covered. Then there's snow on top of that. And we're hoping that, again, since we didn't have just blanket cold weather without snow, that we'll have a minimal loss there, a minimal setback. So overall, I think we're in pretty good shape. And, you know, the timing of the storm, it would have been much worse had it been later, you know, in the year when we are trying to get crops, or we have crops in the ground just breaking through the ground, or earlier in the year when we had not harvested the sugarcane. Because you have this, if you haven't harvested the sugarcane and then it freezes, and then you only have a short window, maybe 10 days to get all the cane cut in the mill, which can be impossible. If not, it breaks down, starts to ferment. So I think overall we're in pretty good condition.
Let me take a quick break, Mike, for traffic. Then we'll come back, talk about some safety stuff as the snow melts and temperatures and ice and pipes and everything else. Mike Strain, respected veterinarian. We'll talk about the pets, too. The Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, our good friend, 653, 7 till 7, traffic now, WWL. I 656, 4 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Thursday morning, in case you lost track of it. That's when we usually talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Extraordinary times, Mike Strain. What do people need to remember about their pets and also about pipes and fireplace safety and everything else?
Well, and if you look, we're still going to be getting down into the 20s Saturday morning. I mean, so mm-hmm. This isn't over yet, you know, and again, you get down into the teens and the 20s. So your fireplaces, keep an eye on them and keep a constant check and be careful. And if you have your screens, you're using your screens, and don't have that big blazing fire going and go to bed, you know, because again, what you don't want is something to pop or a fire log roll out of there and again, set the house on fire. With all of your space heaters, check them, because they've been running now for days. Check the power cords. Check the extension cords. And if they're starting, if you feel that extension cord getting hot, again, unplug it, let it cool off, and then look where you have those space heaters so you're not energizing something such as a sofa, a wall, paper, wood, or something ahead of that causing fires. There'll be a number of fires from space heaters. If you're dealing with kerosene-type space heaters or diesel space heaters, be very careful. Turn them off, cool them off before you refuel them. If you have a generator, for some reason using a generator to power something in a remote building, remember, cool it off before you add fuel. And for your pets, check on them. Make sure their water bowls aren't frozen over, especially if you have, like we do, you know, our poultry out there. Their water systems are freezing over. We have to give them, you know, fresh water each day to make sure, because they can't go without water. Same way with all of your livestock. And the other thing is that, you know, it may look okay, but early in the morning, you've got black ice everywhere. So slips and falls, you know, be very, very careful with that. Anything you handle, be careful with that. And also in some areas, you know, just if you're not sure about the electricity on a remote building, if you don't have to have it on, you may consider throwing a breaker. If it's been cold this long, snow this long, if it's been leaking this long, but it's a tin building, sometimes you can get a little electrical short somewhere into that metal.
And Mike, real quick, only 20 seconds left, about frostbite for people that are out playing in the snow, because they still got a lot of snow around.
Yes, and in the 20s, so remember, stay warm, wear gloves, and if you, you know, if your fingers and toes start getting cold, come inside and warm up. But don't overdo it, because you can really, people have heart attacks in this type of weather because they don't feel it, but they're overdoing it. So please be careful.
Thank you, Mike. A pleasure as always. Stay warm. We'll talk to you next week. When we come back, we'll talk to Colin Arnold, Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness for the City of New Orleans. We continue to recover after this once-in-a-lifetime event. More snowfall and cold than we've had in 130 years. Text me at 504-260-1870. Let me know what kind of challenges you're having. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL.